Today, we're going to kind of shift gears. There's something happening this week. I think it's Sweetheart Week this week, right? So Valentine's Day is coming up. And so this time of year and this time of this week, I always think about how much I love my wife. And so she's a blessing to me. And so she's going to come today and help us talk today. Y'all make Karen feel welcome as she comes and joins in the conversation today. Amen, amen. Today, we're kind of focused on God's plan for marriages. And so I'm going to kind of get involved. And we're just going to sit here this morning and visit a little bit. And we're going to just kind of hang out and kind of talk to you and kind of teach some scripture this morning. Is that all right, guys? So I just ask everybody to lean in a little bit this morning and listen. We're going to be looking at some slides and some scriptures together today and believe in God to bless you. And you're, by the way, this is for every person, because if you're not married, you probably will be one day. Okay, and so we're just training this morning on next level in our relationships, in our marriages, okay? So we're talking today how to be a great blessing to your spouse or your future spouse. How to be a great blessing to your spouse. By the way, honey, you are a great blessing to me.
I was going to say the same thing. I'm glad to be on the team with you. Woo-hoo!
It's a good team right here. Amen. So we're just going to visit, share some ideas from scripture today, and kind of go there. I want to begin with just a little bit of a throwback to an Old Testament scripture this morning. And this is so important that we see this, because way back in Genesis chapter 2, look on your screen in verse 18. Here's kind of where we get this concept of God putting husbands and wives together. The Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Amen. Any guys in here grateful for your helper this morning? Come on. Amen. Thank God. All right. And so what I want to point out about that is this. You all know the story. God observed everything in all of creation. He made it all from day one to day six. And he kind of went around and he said, well, this is good. He saw what he made and he said, this is good. In fact, he observed everything he made and said that it is good. But then the first thing that he observed that was not good was a serious problem. It was the problem of men being alone. Man was alone. And that's the very first thing that God observed that kind of needed fixed. Amen, guys. Come on. And his solution to that problem was to create marriage and make husbands and wives. Okay, and so what does that mean for us today? I just want to drop this on you this morning right off the bat. It means that God has a plan for your marriage. He intends for husbands and wives to help and serve one another in order to fulfill his plan and his purpose for your marriage. That's why he's putting us together, to fulfill his plan.
One of my favorite parts of that particular scripture, if you look closely within that scripture, it actually says, hang on, you're blowing it up too big.
Okay.
It actually says that, that's good.
Okay.
It talks that wives are to help, and husbands and wives help and serve each other in order to fulfill his will. Now, the part that stood out to me was serve each other.
Yeah.
In order to fulfill.
Yeah.
And so that reminded me, those of you, hello, my sweet ladies, you guys know that I love scripture. So we have some scripture on that. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. And do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. As we serve each other to fulfill his will, we are actually fulfilling the law of the word." And so with that, I want to say, wives, you should encourage your husband to walk out God's will every single day. That's what we do. And husbands, you do the same thing. You encourage us to walk out the will of God in our lives.
Yes.
And one of the things that I love is when we were dating, a long time ago, we would have talks about dreams. We would talk about what we wanted, where we thought God would take us and what he was stirring up inside of us. And in those dreams, Brandon would say, "What is God doing in you?" And it was that curiosity that he had for me. and what God was doing in me that was so special. And throughout our marriage, he has still said, hey, let's talk about this. Where are we going? And he would do prayerfully whatever he could to make sure that those dreams, that I had those opportunities to fulfill those dreams in whatever prayerful way the Lord would lead us. And for that, I am thankful to serve beside you. Amen. And with you.
Thank God. Thank Amen. God. I base that philosophy of marriage and serving my wife, guys, in Ephesians chapter 5. And we're not going to talk about that today, but it really became embedded in me because the word here says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. And even before we got married, I made that my decision. That's what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to give myself up for her. It's the only way I can really be Christ-like in my marriage and prioritize her and her life and her dreams. And in turn, God gave us that symbiotic, great spiritual equity that he intends for all of us to have, guys, okay? And so we're a blessing to each other. Watch this. When we help one another fulfill God's plans and purpose for our life, that's why you have a spouse today. That's why one day, if you're in preparation for becoming a husband or a wife, you need to know that now, that the purpose for God blessing you with a husband or a wife is so that you can help him or her fulfill God's purpose for their life and achieve great things together. Come on, can you receive it this morning?
Amen,
amen. Amen. Just a couple of statements to bounce off this morning before we look at a specific scripture today. Look at this statement on your screen. Applying biblical principles to your marriage enacts God's blessing on you and your relationship. Yeah. You know, many people wonder how to have and build a blessed marriage, and they attempt all kinds of trial and error based on what they perceive marriage to be all about. But it's God's word that gives us the instruction on exactly how to be a great blessing to your spouse. So when we apply the scripture to our marriage and do what it says, there are great blessings that come from obeying God's word in your marriage.
And I could not say amen loud enough that the word is the source of strength in all that we do. And it is important to understand that both the husband and the wife need the word individually and collectively. And this is why I just want to say this morning that no matter if you're married or not, this message is still for you. And let me show you the connection that's being made. It doesn't matter if you're married or not. This word is still for you because it's important for you as an individual to dig in the word and to establish that prayer life and that resource of the word in love with your whole heart. And, you know, we talk about, oh, I can't, you know, when you're little, you're like, oh, I can't wait till I fall in love and I'm going to marry my Prince Charming and it's going to be fabulous. And the whole thing about love is, you know, so important. But when we actually look at what love is, 2 John 1:6 says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his commandment is that you walk in love. And John 14:15 simply says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Without his word, it's not love.
Right.
God is love.
Amen.
And without his word, we can never experience true love.
Amen.
And,
Amen. Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God. Y'all may have noticed it. I brought out the big book today, the big heavy Bible today. It's because I'm focusing on the concept this morning that within the framework of your marriage, God's word has got to be your standard.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, everybody say standard.
Standard.
The word of God. This book is your standard, okay? And so God's word, it's our guide, it's our standard. Husbands, wives, future husbands and wives, this is your standard for marriage behavior. So when we say standard, I want to define that word. It just means it's the established measure for producing a level of quality. Okay? And so if you're going to set out to produce quality in your marriage and be a blessing to one another, you can't have guesswork. You got to have the Bible, the Word of God, as your standard. Amen, everybody. You will become a great blessing to your spouse when you live and operate based on the standard of God's word.
One of my favorite quotes is from Charles Spurgeon. I don't know if you guys have read Charles Spurgeon, but a quote that I love says, "A Bible falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't." Let me say that again. A Bible falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't.
Amen.
That's a good word.
We need the standard of the Word of God, everybody, okay? Now, when we let the Word be the measure of the quality of our relationship, then we become a blessing to our spouse. It's a blessing. Let me show you why. The Word as your standard is a blessing because the Word makes it easy, much easier than just trying to do it on your own. The Word is your standard. Okay, you can't do it on relying on this standard. The Word of God takes all of the guesswork out of important questions in your marriage. Like this: how can I be a responsible husband or wife in whatever situation? Well, we go to the standard and we find out. Amen, everybody. Okay, how am I supposed to respond to him or her right now in this situation? Well, don't just go on what you think or how you feel. Go to the standard and let the standard tell you how to respond to things. Okay, how does God expect me as a husband to handle this situation in my marriage or my family? Well, instead of just going on how I feel or what I think, I need to go to the Word and say, this is my measure of the level of quality that I want to produce in my life, in my marriage, in my family, and do what the Word says. Amen, amen, everybody. Amen. Thank God. So when we go to the book for our answers, instead of just making decisions based on our reasoning, God increases the quality of our relationship. Can y'all see that, guys? Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but when I do things on my own, the way I think is best, I usually get it messed up. Come on, men. All the men should say a good one right there. Come on. But if I have the Word of God as my standard to give me guidance and to help me understand what the standard is and how to create quality decisions and quality outcomes in my life, in my marriage and family, then God ensures that His way is the best way. And I don't know about you, but in our relationship, in our marriage, I don't just want what she thinks best or what I think is best. I want what God has in store for us. Amen. Okay, so Amen. Thank God for that. All right, He takes the pressure off. The standard takes the pressure to perform on our own off of both of us. How many of you have always heard marriage is hard work? Have y'all heard that one? I'll tell you, sometimes it really is. But without God's Word as our standard, I thought about this analogy. Building blessings into your marriage can feel like trying to assemble a car engine without having an instruction book.
I think it's kind of like trying to build the plane while you're in the air flying. That's a little struggling.
Yeah. You're looking at millions of pieces, wondering what to do with them all. But in the Word, God shows us exactly what to do, how to respond, how to love, how to communicate. God's Word is our standard. Amen, everybody. Amen. Now, without the Word as your standard, we all have faulty standards. And we've all gone to those from time to time. The faulty standards for your marriage, that many people fall into that trap. They simply enter marriage thinking that it's going to be natural. If you guys have been married a long time in here today, do you find it to be natural or is it something you've got to work at? Okay, yeah, it's not really natural. So many people enter into marriage thinking, well, that romantic love that got you into this is going to be the thing that carries you through all of life's challenges.
Like there's a soundtrack playing in the background.
Yeah, what a farce, man. Let me tell you this. Building a blessed marriage. I hear the young people right there. What is he talking about? I can tell you this. I'm first to admit, I don't even mind admitting this, physical attraction is what got me into this right here. I don't mind telling you. First and foremost, it was physical attraction that got me into this relationship right here. But thank God that he gave us the standard to understand that your romantic love and your physical attraction is going to carry you in the beginning, but you're going to face some things that you need something on the deep down on the inside to carry you through all of life's challenges and changes. Amen. Married couples, come on. Amen. Okay. And so, no, it's not natural. Building a blessed marriage takes more than romance. It, It's going to take more. It takes adhering to all of the instructions in the standard of His Word and being changed along the way. Can y'all receive that today, guys? Amen, amen. Now, I found this out to be true. I've been teaching marriage guidance for many, many years. And in all of the scholarship that I've referred to, I always learned that in our faulty standards that we base our marriages on, there are really three main ones that get us all messed up in our marriage. And those faulty standards are the world standards and our past influence as a standard, and then our feelings, okay? Now, when you base, I'll tell you, the world standard for marriage is the worst. I can tell you that right now. Many of you have experienced this. The world views marriage as a contractual institution that hinges on both spouses meeting enough of the other spouse's preference and expectations. That's a mess to get involved in right there. And what the world says is this: this marriage is expendable, and if one person doesn't add up or do enough or become something that meets enough of the other person's preferences, you can just kind of write it off and try again. That's the worst possible standard I can think of for a marriage.
Yeah, it's kind of like that phrase that people say, "You complete me." I mean, that sounds great and it's all sweet and everything, but if you're really relying on your spouse to be everything that you're not, you're in for a world of mess.
Amen.
Because who completes you is Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's the Word where that completion is found. And when I stand complete because of my relationship with God, and He stands complete with His relationship with God, then this marriage and this union is truly as strong as three cords with God in the middle. Yeah. And that's how it works. It's not, I'm not waiting on Him to make me happy.
Right.
That's not what I'm doing. My joy that's internal comes from my relationship with Jesus. And then I get to rejoice that He gave me someone to live life with who has that same complete joy within Him. And when we get together, we're a barrel of monkeys.
Yeah, y'all believe that, don't you? She is. Those of y'all who really know me in here know how badly I need her. Okay, that's all there is to it. Amen. The world standard cannot be our standard. Amen. Pastor Mike knows. He knows. I've been here almost a year and a half. He's been praying for me to loosen up the whole time. Okay, I get it. I guarantee it. The world standard can't be our standard. This has to be our standard. Amen, everybody? The other faulty standard we have is our past influences. People build their life and marriages around the past and what they know about the past. Sometimes people build their marriage around all the ideas they learn from others, like their parents or grandparents, or base their marriage on the relationships that they saw growing up. And I want to say two things about that. First of all, that can be an advantage for you. If you were brought up and have a great example of a loving, committed, biblically based marriage, it can be a great advantage for you, or it can be a great hindrance for you if you suffered a lot of pain and agony growing up with the example marriage that you were shown. And it's okay if you come from that kind of background. Let me tell you this. Y'all know my story. I come from a broken home situation. God had to redeem our family and instill grace in our family. He anointed my precious mother, woman of God, who led us to the Lord and taught us about faith. Praise God. For praying mamas. Amen. He provided me with a stepdad. Y'all know from last week, I call them redemptive fathers, right? Okay. And so to bless my life. And then later on, brought my own dad back into my life as a born-again man. To be a blessing to me, but I can't base my marriage on what I saw, and many of you can't either, and that's okay. Let me tell you why, and here's the truth. Your story is not meant to be somebody else's story. Somebody else's story is not your story. God has a plan for you and your family. You're writing your own story, amen. Okay, so let God do that. Don't let all your past be the only standard that you have. Let the Word be your standard.
It's true. And I don't know, in the past, some influences that I had, let me get some amen. It was Leave It to Beaver. Love Leave It to Beaver and watching The Family, or Claire and Cliff Huxtable, and or The Brady Bunch. Okay, so sometimes in a generation of the latchkey kid where parents were all off at work and we were at home with the TV, all that was just a segment of my life. You don't realize how much of an influence that those even TV influences would have on your life. And so whenever we got married, which we got married very young, I was very young, I was 18 by, you know, a couple of weeks. And so I thought that when we got married, it was so awesome. And the day, like, we got into our house and everything, I thought, it's going to be like Leave It to Beaver. And I'm going to have, like, the little apron, and I'm going to walk around the kitchen, and it's going to be just perfect. And then it wasn't. And I had to learn that, no, honey, that's not how that works. And so we have to realize that our past influences, we're not made to be a carbon copy of somebody else. It's just what you're saying. It's really who God has developed us to be. And I have to have that relationship with God so he can lead me into the person that I am, that is very unique and very different and very handcrafted. And it's very intentional. So never compare yourself to somebody else, because God has designed you to be you. Amen. You are the only you, and you are the best you can be when you have your eyes locked on him and you are walking your best life out in, amen, his word. Amen.
Thank God. You thought I was going to be like Ward Cleaver? I'm sorry I let you down, baby. The last faulty standard I just want to mention before we take a close look at a segment of scripture this morning is the faulty standard of our own feelings. Everybody say feelings. This is a faulty standard in marriage. It's, you can't go by what you feel. Amen, everybody. See, feelings can be very, very deceptive, okay? And so when we go strictly by how we feel, your marriage is going to be very frustrating because you're relying on your spouse to keep you up all the time and to give you all of your preferences all the time, okay? This is because we place so much pressure on our spouse to provide us with the attributes and the feelings that only God can give you, okay? It's not Karen's job to make me feel a certain way. Thank God. You know, we have such a, and people come up to us all the time, man, I really hope that our marriage grows and we want to have a marriage like you guys have one day. I think this is the key to our great marriage. And this is it. If you want to take this to the bank today, I don't rely on Karen to give me anything that I'm designed to only get from God. And she doesn't rely on me to give her anything, not a feeling, not an emotion. She doesn't rely on me to give her anything that she's designed to only get from Jesus. Everybody understand that? And what that does is it gives us so much freedom, freedom to grow, freedom to be a blessing to one another. Can y'all understand that, guys? Okay. So some days you are not going to feel great about how things are going. How many of y'all married people can say a good one on that right there? All right. Now you're, honey, let me put it on the spot. Honey, do you always feel like you love me?
I always love you. Yes, yeah, of course.
But do you always feel like you love me? That's the question.
Sometimes I ride an emotional roller coaster.
Right. Yeah, we all do, don't we? We do.
It's true. And, you know, feelings, especially the women, we can really get carried away with our feelings if we allow ourselves just to ride that train. You have to choose to sit in the seat. You have to choose to buckle that seatbelt for that train to go. And it's that intentional decision to get on or to work it out. That's where it's going to determine which path you take.
Amen.
Now, I want to give a shout out to Sam Lewandowski. Woo, woo, Sam. Sam hosted a life group, and I also want to promote life groups because they're amazing.
Yeah.
Sam hosted a life group in her home, and it was, we did a book study on the well-watered woman. And The Well-Watered Woman was by Gretchen Saffels. And there is a quote in here that I just want to read because it still sticks with me. We had some fantastic, deep conversations on just developing ourselves as a woman. And from this book, this quote encourages and reminds women who encounter not so perfect scenarios in the home of the power of the word. And this is what it said. While I still have a long to-do list in front of me, a house in disarray around me, and a lot of emotions stirring inside of me, the word of truth is at work, refocusing me and reminding me that God is good even now.
Thank God. Thank God.
My circumstances haven't changed, but the posture of my heart shifts as I look to Jesus. And though I still have things that concern me, I'm reminded of God's care. That's what God's word does to our feelings and our present struggles. It gives us what we need right now when we need it. When your roots run deep in God's word and his goodness and his steadfast love, nothing can shake you or break you forever.
Right.
Nothing. Though you may walk, it is not forever, and he will be faithful alongside of you. And that's an inspiration to me.
Thank God.
I just thank you, Sam, for giving your heart and your time, and encourage everyone, if you're not in a life group, dive in, because there are ladies in this house and families in this house where we just study and talk and visit together. And when those conversations go deep and they get real, not only do we become closer as a family, but we get stronger because of the word and the relationships that occur through that.
Thank God. Thank God. Amen. So guys, if you are among those who are striving and struggling because you've placed your marriage, your identity as a spouse, a husband or a wife, or future husband or wife, under the standard of the world, your past or your feelings, let me urge you, develop a new habit today of getting involved in the Word of God and determining what His standard is in His Word for your life and your marriage. You'll never be the same, and God will use you to be a blessing to your spouse. Amen, everybody. Come on. But now I want to take just a couple of moments for the next few minutes, and let's get an example of this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, is one of those dramatic examples of Scripture that gives us some standards to live by, to be a blessing to our spouse. In fact, that scripture directly addresses wives and then turns around and directly addresses husbands. Let's explicate this scripture for just a moment and look closely at a few of these and grow. Who's ready to grow? Come on. Somebody say, let's grow. Come on. Let's grow. Here it is. 1 Peter 3 and 1 says this, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. And look at this amazing thing, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wife. Did y'all watch that, guys? The idea here is this. Ladies, you have a different relationship to your own husband than you do to any other man. Now, here's a scripture that I like to use against people. Sorry, not to help them understand. Sometimes, y'all know sometimes people in the world accuse the Bible of being misogynistic and patriarchal. Okay, now here's the scripture that helps us understand. The Bible never tells you women to be submissive to all men. It just tells you to be submissive to your own husband. Okay, that means your submission is to him, not to all men. We're going to emphasize that in just a moment. God's got a great mighty spiritual plan for the husband and the wife. Amen. Amen, everybody.
Amen.
Thank God.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you can think of somebody who the wife faithfully came to church, and every time she came, her prayer was, my husband will be saved.
Yeah.
My husband will be saved. The word is true. Me and my household. And that power that comes from prayer and walking and believing that that's going to happen, it's encouraging and it's motivating us to dive in the word and to continue this walk. And so with this, this means that your responsibility is to accept the authority of your husband and never see yourself less than your husband. Yeah. My prayers are powerful to God.
Yes.
The things that I say, things that I believe, they move mountains because of who God is inside of me.
Yes.
And we have to understand that in this relationship, He is the one that I chose. He is the one that I pray for.
That's good. She could have had anybody and she chose me. Are you kidding me? Come on. Thank God.
Well, and what I just want to encourage everybody is that God intends for our conduct to be an inspiration to our husband.
Amen. Amen.
Are we inspiring our husband? When I pray, are the prayers that I pray encouraging to him? Does my life bring forth fruit and light that really makes him go, oh man, yeah, that's good. I need to step up or whatever, you know, or man, we're right there together. Like making sure that our life is truly, truly an honor and a blessing
Amen.
For
Amen.
Him to say, that's my wife.
Yes. Thank God. Thank you God. Know? Look at verse number 2 very quickly. And still talking to the wives, when they observe, they talking about the husbands of the men, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Okay. Now that word fear here is just translated from a word that means respect. Okay. Ladies, you're not to fear your husband. And husbands, let me tell you this, you cannot be a blessing to your spouse if you are trying to control and live in a way that causes her to fear you. Okay. Ladies, you're not to fear him, just to respect him. Bible says, even if the husband does not obey the word, ladies, it's your conduct that inspires him to comply with God's will. And the Bible said to be won by the conduct when he observes your behavior. Thank God. This is one of the ways God intends, ladies, for you to be a blessing to your husband. And let me tell you this. This is so true. This trait has been so obvious in our marriage over the years. One of the great ways that Karen has been a blessing to me is her conduct and behavior, her high level of respect, okay, for who God is in me, while simultaneously understanding who God is in her, has been such an inspiration for me, because there are times God knows exactly what we need, men.
Right.
God knows exactly what He built inside of us, that innate sense of responsibility, that innate sense of protection, okay, that responsibility to take care of, to provide. And so sometimes when I'm discouraged, or sometimes when I'm down and out, you better believe God will use her to remind me of who I am and who I need to step up and be. Your conduct and behavior causes me to want to step up. That's the word in action, guys. How many men know what I'm talking about right there? We need to see this, okay? You better believe, if I'm having doubts, if we're praying and maybe my faith is weak, or maybe I'm not believing as thoroughly because I've been wounded or hurt, you know, in ministry life especially, here's the thing about being pastors, and we've been pastors for almost 30 years. Watch this. In the ministry life, when things are going great, the pastor gets a lot of pats on the back, okay? I get that. When things aren't going great and we have ups and downs in the ministry, the pastor also endures probably too many words of criticism. But it's really never his fault, or never the people. Everybody always comes together, good or bad, in the church. Okay, so there are times when we are discouraged. There are times when we need to be picked up. There are times when we need to look to our spouse for the inspiration that we need. And honey, you're great at that. Because I can tell you this. She's going to be in the Word. She's going to be praying. She's going to be demonstrating respect. She's going to be doing the things necessary that cause me to go, well, wait a minute. I got to step up and be who God has called me to be. That's what the Word here says is the way that you're a blessing to your spouse. Amen, everybody. Okay? Thank God. Thank God. It's respect.
That reminds me, I love Stormy Omardian, and she has the power of a praying wife. And let me tell you, whenever you really grasp a hold of that, just the understanding of the power of your prayer life, there's so much peace in my heart when I know that his relationship with the Lord is right. When we encounter hard times, difficult times, whatever, I can say, Lord, tell him. And then I just walk on. Because you know what God's going to do? He's going to tell him.
Yep.
And whenever he's like, we need to do this. And if I'm like, oh, I wasn't thinking that. I'll be like, well, he talked to the Lord. So, okay, weird to me, but okay. What do I know? He's talking to the Lord about it. I'm going with him. So that respect of, okay, I'm not going to argue, because if I've been in the Word and I trust the Lord to let him lead our home. Lead, Lord, let him lead, do his thing, use him the way he's supposed to be used as the man of God, as the head of the house. I have no problem with that whatsoever. And what it does is it sets me free. It takes all the pressure off me to try to fix it. Do we have any fixers in here? I don't know. I'm thinking there might be some fixers in here. Well, fixers, you don't have to fix anything, because God has it all.
Amen.
He has it all.
Amen.
So 1 Peter 3:3 says this, and we're going to move on into this one. Do not let your adornment merely be outward, arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. That's not all you're for.
Yes.
That's not all you're about. You don't spend your whole life, you know, hitting the gym, staying fit, doing a blah, blah. I mean, all that's important or whatever, but I thank the Lord that it's not all that we're called to do, because I fail daily. So what I'm saying is that's not what it is, because it is honestly the inner parts of who we are.
Yes.
God's word never changes, but it always changes us.
Yes.
God's word is faithful and consistent.
When we understand that, ladies, I want to interject something here, honey. Very, very important. Ladies, the scripture's emphasizing your inner life growth. Everybody say inner life growth.
Inner life.
It's very important that we do this and we focus on this. Here's why. You're not meant, guys, lean in on this one. This is our responsibility too. Wives, you're not meant to only be attractive to your husband on the outside. You're also designed to be attractive to him on the inside.
Right.
You develop depth and intimacy with God and with your husband when he sees you working on your inner life. Everybody say inner life one more time.
Inner life.
This is vital for husbands to understand as well. Okay? Inner life.
So another quote from the Well-Watered Woman was talking about how life itself ebbs and flows in the rhythms of the seasons of life. And through it all, God is faithful. He is faithful to produce a harvest for his glory through our lives. And as we develop ourselves, we become a blessing to our spouse when we are working to be closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because today's decisions affects tomorrow's destination.
Yeah.
Today's faithfulness affects tomorrow's fruitfulness. And today's investment affects tomorrow's blooms. What you do today is important.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, the word of God never changes, but it always changes us and develops us. And have you ever seen somebody and you look them in the face and you're like, my gosh, that lady is beautiful, and like her eyes are like fire. And when she opens her mouth, you hear the word come out and you're like blown away. That's what I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be so full of the word and so full of life that if I forget to dye my gray hair or as my wrinkles keep coming, like that's not the focus. It's literally... Talk to her for 5 seconds and you're going to hear the word. It's going to impact you. It's going to influence you.
I've also seen a beautiful woman with fire in her eyes, and she opened her mouth and filth came out. Absolute repulsion right there on the spot. So thank God. But inner life, not just outer. Read that verse 4.
Honey. Okay. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Yeah. So we have to really focus on the hidden person of the heart, because your inner beauty will not diminish over time.
Praise God.
Can I get an amen and a thank you, Lord? Because that will not, it will only grow more beautiful the more you get in the Word. So although we started our relationship by looking a certain way, but he should really be falling in love with the inner person of the heart.
Right.
And that keeps growing closer and closer and stronger.
You want to be
stronger.
A blessing, guys. Watch this closely. You will be a blessing. It's important for the husband and the wife to be aware of this principle right here.
That's true.
This is a next level type of intimacy in your marriage. Watch this closely. Take responsibility, because your marriage will break if your attraction is only outward.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with a man who stays attracted only to the outward for too long. He becomes a cliche. And y'all know what that cliche is? The younger woman. Who knows what I'm talking about? Okay? This is very, very important. We understand. Guys, if you want to be a blessing to your wife, you let her know that you love her for more than just the physical part of your marriage. You love her because of who she is becoming as she grows in the Lord. You love her for the inner beauty as much as the outer beauty.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Almost done. Watch just a couple more scriptures this morning, and let's look closely at these blessings. Go ahead, honey.
Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." So when we think about the holy woman, the scripture actually compares the inner beauty to holiness. It's your real adornment.
Yes.
It's the adornment that matters most.
Thank God, thank God.
And that's just the word.
Praise God. Praise
Thank
God.
Goodness.
I love that point that the inner beauty won't diminish over time, but it'll grow and become more beautiful over the course of your life together. And we have to follow that up with this. Guys, if you aren't falling in love with the inner person of her heart, that's not her fault. That's your fault. You need to deal with what's going on in your life and fall in love with everything that she is and be a blessing to her in that way. Two more real quick. Watch closely in verse 6. "As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." Now, the word "not afraid" here just means this: you have confidence. Everybody say confidence.
Confidence.
Okay. Tell us about this scripture that you found in Titus 2, honey, about this situation.
So, Titus, this is one of my favorite, especially regarding women's ministry just as a whole. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored." Older women, that relationship of the older women to the younger women, we are dealing with generational encounters, things that the experiences and the things that the older ladies have, the wisdom, that needs to be shared and imparted to younger generations who have grown up in very, very different scenarios and very different ways. We need each other.
Yeah.
We are better together. We've got to create and establish a legacy and a heritage for the people who come after us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to begin by having those conversations now with each other.
Yeah.
We need each other.
Not afraid here. The scripture, ladies, it's important that we all understand this, guys, too. Means that you're confident and secure. This is a great blessing to each other. You're confident, you're secure in who you are, and that you show confidence in your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be afraid, because you're never worried about your status. That's what the word here says. It's a great blessing to have that kind of status confidence. You know that he or she loves you and that God is working his plan into your marriage. And that level of confidence is a huge blessing. And here's why. Because it allows for mistakes.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all, but I've not attained to perfection in my walk yet. I'm still relying on God to straighten me up on things and to build me. Anybody with me on that right now?
Yeah, man, me too.
And there are situations in life where I'm going to make mistakes. Sometimes I'm going to say the wrong thing. But because of her confidence that she has in herself, in her Lord, and in her husband, I don't have to be afraid that mistake is going to cost us our marriage. Y'all see this? And we're a blessing to one another. We laugh at mistakes.
Oh, I laugh a lot.
She does. I mean, she's always laughing. She just, but we don't care, man. We're not going to blame each other. This level of confidence gives you what we call the journey factor. Everybody say journey factor. Come on. Here's what it means. It means you know that he is on his journey, and she knows. Excuse me, your spouse knows that you're on your journey and you know that she's on her journey. And you're able to see each other in the viewpoint of your journey and see where they are. Freedom to make mistakes and to be and have joy and to laugh and learn from one another. Amen, everybody. Come on. Thank God. One more scripture today before we pray. Honey, read this one. This is a very important scripture. Watch closely and read verse 7 on your screen with Karen.
Okay, 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands.
Notice we have the shift.
Amen.
We've been focused on wives this whole time in the first 6 verses, but now we're going to get some skills for the husband dealing directly with the man. Watch this. Mm-hmm.
Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, I got a good question. All right, here's my question. What exactly does it mean, dwell with understanding?
Okay, very good question. Guys, we're told here to dwell with our wife with understanding. And the idea here is very, very simple. Your goal in this instruction is as simple. Try to understand your wife.
Praying for you all.
Now, the word study here is very, very clear. It's not as difficult as that. The goal here is to be focused and dedicated and be fully committed to her, to know her deeply. It means you have a desire every day to know her deeply. Guys, you'll be a blessing to your wife. Watch this closely. When she knows that she occupies a significant part of your thought life, that you dwell with understanding. That word dwell means to live. You live every day with a desire and a goal to know her deeply. And by the way, here's a little bit of an advantage for us. Guys, this is just the way God made ladies. Guys, your wife just wants intimacy with you. She just wants you to want to know her.
Ask questions.
Yes.
Amen. Real questions.
Yes.
Get beyond how was your day. I mean, that's good and all, but like, what did you enjoy about your day? What was something that was fantastic today? Where did you see the Lord move today in your life, in your world? Was there something that you really want to talk about? And then listen, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Eye contact, all of those things.
Yeah.
Asking, when you get to know somebody deeply, then it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quality time.
Yes. Guys, you'll be a blessing if she knows that you love her deep enough to care about two things, how she feels and what she thinks.
Amen. That's good.
When she knows that you deeply care about how she feels and what she thinks, okay, you're well on your way to live dwelling with her with understanding, and God can bless that.
I have another question, though. Okay. In this verse up here, mm-hmm. Tell me what it means when it says that I'm the weaker vessel.
Okay.
I mean, I know I can't open jars and stuff, and
she
I give it to you.
She can't open jars. That's true. She can't even open jars.
No. But no.
That's true. Here's the thing, lady. This is a reference to physical weakness, not spiritual weakness.
Yes.
Okay? Understand. This is about physical, not spiritual. How do you know? First of all, I just know the word on this, but watch this. You know this logically from your own experience. There are plenty of women who are great spiritual giants in life.
That's true.
And their husbands sometimes have some catching up to do. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. There are women who we rely upon for great, powerful prayers, and wives who really tote families and carry the load for as long as they have to in families, and they are spiritual juggernauts. I mean, they really carry it. This is not a reference to spiritual weakness. This is a reference to physical weakness. But it's an instruction to us guys. I feel like standing up when I'm talking. It's weird. Y'all know I move around a lot. The instruction is to us guys, and here it is. It's instruction to treat her how you would treat something that is priceless and breakable. Okay? This is how we're to handle, to treat, to approach, to deal with our spouse, guys, to be a blessing to her. It says we're to honor her when we treat her like she is peerless, like she is precious and priceless. Okay? And so when it says that you're the weaker vessel, trust me, the word's not putting you down and saying that you are spiritually weak or that God can't use you. No, no, no. We know this. God is using women all the time, every day, to tote families. Amen, everybody?
That's right.
Thank God.
Amen.
And so, no, this is physically. It's giving us instructions on how we should approach and look at our wives. Future husbands, let me tell you this. The Bible's clear. Be a gentleman.
Yeah.
She's priceless. She's precious. Treat her like she's breakable. Because she is. Amen, everybody. Thank
I got
God.
one last thing, because okay. In that same verse, it mm-hmm. says that we're heirs together. So tell me a little bit more about that.
We are heirs together in the grace of life. You'll be a blessing, guys. Understand this. This is talking about the spiritual equity that God has for us when we apply Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 into our life. The real blessing here is when you cross this threshold of understanding this perfectly, that you are one together. Everybody say one. Come on. You're one in grace and life. It means you share in salvation. You share in the things of God. You share in the blessings of God. And that is God's will and his plan for your marriage, to connect on those spiritual, those deep spiritual levels and connect with him as heirs together in the grace of life with your spouse. Amen, everybody. Okay, and there's a promise and a condition based on that. Look closely at your scripture one more time. It said that your prayers may not be hindered. Remember, this is to guys. This is to the husbands, and get the training on this. The responsibility for us guys to represent the nature of God in our marriage is so important that the Lord hinges your prayers on. He said right here, how you love and relate to your wife, guys, determines the effectiveness of your prayers. What a huge responsibility. So, guys, I want to tell you to take this moment to let you know that, honey, join me. We're going to pray for everybody today together. If y'all enjoyed this talk today, everybody, I've been blessed. If you've been edified by it, come on, let's give God a praise. How we relate to our spouse. The reason why the Lord, guys, put this responsibility on me and you as husbands and future husbands, guys, is because it's up to us to represent his nature in our marriage. Word is plain and true on this. We're to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's the standard of love for our spouse. Pastor Brandon, what does that mean? Am I supposed to forgive her? What did Jesus forgive you? You mean I'm just supposed to forgive and treat her like Jesus treats me? Yes. It's up to you to represent the nature of the Lord in your house, guys. And the Lord said, you'll do this so that your prayers won't be hindered together. Thank God. That's where we land today. So I want to bless us today and believe God. If you're married today, I'll tell you this. God's got a plan for you to grow and to stretch and But aren't you glad the Lord doesn't leave us out on a limb to figure it all out? He gives us the standard of His word to show us how it's done. Amen, everybody. God bless you. Stand with me today.